If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris still aftermathing Orlando. A lot of interesting facts are, I'm not even sure they're facts yet. A lot of interesting theories have been put forward in the last 24 hours since we last talked, and starting to appear less and less of an ISIS-inspired crime and more of maybe a gay guy who couldn't handle the fact he was gay.
Kind of a self-loathing thing, yeah. People are starting to come out and say that that they recognized Omar Mateen because he frequented gay bars.
Yep.
And that he had also been on gay dating sites and stuff like that. So, you know, despite what the father thinks about how disgusted he was at those guys in Miami, that might have been just for show.
Yeah, it might have been.
But he may very well have been disgusted by the whole idea, despite the fact that, you know, he was feeling it down inside.
And he had daddy issues, too.
Of course.
The father's religious stance against gays, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid finding out that he was or might have been gay exacerbated the whole thing.
Right.
FBI investigating reports that Omar Mateen, the shooter, visited Orlando's Pulse nightclub not once, but several times before he killed 49 people over the weekend. One man said he recognized Mateen from an app that he used to arrange dates and hookups for gay men. All of this adds a new layer of complexity to the investigation of the worst mass shooting in modern American history.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. officials said the FBI would look into that claim as well. The Orlando Sentinel newspaper cited four Pulse regulars who said they'd seen the 29-year-old Mateen there before.
It's an interesting case, I think, simply because here you've got a guy that we were arguing the last couple of days, or not us, but I mean a lot of people were arguing. We figured we'd wait and see if he had left, you know, very many reasons.
Right.
He probably called 911 to say that this was an ISIS-related deal.
In case he got away.
Well, yeah, and the thing is because he wanted people to think that was the case, but it wasn't the case.
No.
You know, it wasn't... It wasn't just by chance that he targeted Orlando instead of some other town. It wasn't by chance that he went to this particular bar instead of some other bar. But the argument we were having was this ISIS-related, or was this a hate crime because it was a gay bar? And it turns out it's a little bit of both without being completely either one. But chances are that it had nothing to do with ISIS, and he called 911 to tell them that he was doing this in the name of ISIS so they wouldn't think otherwise.
Yeah. Sometimes he'd go over to the corner and sit and drink by himself, and other times he'd get so drunk he was loud and belligerent, said Ty Smith, who claimed to have seen the gunman at least a dozen times. We didn't really talk to him a lot, but I remember him saying things about his dad. He told us he had a wife and a child. Smith's husband, Chris Callan, told the Canadian press that Mateen had been to Pulse regularly, listen to this, for at least 3 years. 3 years.
Yeah, that qualifies as a regular.
Yeah. Jim Van Horn, 71, told the Associated Press he was a frequent patron at Pulse and said another regular there was Mateen. He was trying to pick up people, men, Van Horn said Monday outside the Parliament House, another gay nightclub.
When we come back, I'll tell you about what an old classmate of his has to say.
All right. Getting interesting. KBOI News Time, 8:45. Time to check traffic one more time. Join Joe Prynne and the Home Fix Show Saturdays at 7 a.m. for 3 hours of home repair, remodeling advice, and industry experts. That's Saturday, beginning at 7, right here on Newstalk 670 KBOI. All right, we're back. We're going to go to Chris in just a second. First, this update. A doctor says six people wounded in the Orlando nightclub shooting are in critical condition. Six. Five are in guarded condition. So those 11 probably have a chance of not surviving, but six in critical condition.
We're kind of finding out this morning and a little bit last night, if you were watching the newscasts and whatnot, that a lot of people are reporting that this guy, Omar Mateen, this was not the first time he'd ever been in this particular gay bar, or he'd apparently been to a bunch of them over time. A former classmate of Mateen's 2006 police academy class said, because he had, you know, the police training and was a security guard, said he believed Mateen was gay, saying Mateen once asked him out. And I'm thinking that's a fairly good indication.
Yep.
Officials say Mateen shot and killed 49 people and injured 53 others at an Orlando nightclub early Sunday morning. The classmate said that he, Mateen, and other classmates would hang out, sometimes going to gay nightclubs after classes at the Indian River Community College Police Academy. He said Mateen asked him out romantically. We went to a few gay bars with him, and I was not out at the time. This guy was, in fact, gay. So I declined his offer, the former classmate said. He asked that his name not be used. He believed Mateen was gay, but not open about it. Mateen was awkward, and for a while, the classmate and the rest of the group of friends felt sorry for him. He just wanted to fit in, and nobody liked him, he said. He was always socially awkward. In Orlando, the LA Times reported that Mateen attended the Pulse nightclub possibly as many as a dozen times before the rampage.
Yeah, and we heard up to 3 years.
Yeah, Kevin West said he had messaged Mateen back and forth over a year's time on the gay dating app Jacked, but never met him until he saw Mateen crossing the street about 1 a.m. on Sunday.
Yeah, at 1 a.m., and he walked directly past me, West said, and then I said, hey, and he turned and said, hey. West said, I could tell by his eyes something was wrong.
Yeah.
About an hour later, wielding an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle and a handgun, Mateen began the three-hour shooting rampage and hostage siege that ended with a SWAT team killing him. But we're getting a lot of things that indicate that he may or may not have been gay. The Wall Street Journal reported Mateen had expressed anti-gay views that horrified his classmates, as you said, well, Indian River State College.
But, you know, again, quite often you find it,
sure.
And you find this among televangelists.
Yep.
You find this among just certain people. If they seem to be going a little overboard in ranting about how bad something is, chances are it's because they have a personal issue with it.
Yep.
Now, I'm not a psychologist, and this isn't true 100% of the time.
But it's true
people tend to point out or dislike in others what they dislike about themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. If somebody's constantly making fun of the way people look, it means they're not real sure about how they look.
If you know somebody who's incredibly loud, chances are they're complaining about how loud other people are.
Yeah, true stuff. I mean, it's very, very strange.
Mm-hmm.
The strangest thing is the 911 call, but it can be explained in that even, I don't know if he felt he wasn't going to make it out of there alive or whatever, or the fact that he was shooting up a gay nightclub and people there knew who he was, he called that to basically deflect the fact he was gay.
Yeah.
If indeed he was.
This isn't about that. This is jihad. This is jihad.
Yeah. It's when we get back, we're going to talk about some of the non-gay places. This guy apparently cased soft targets, as they call them.
Some of them very, very, very popular vacation destinations.
Among the American public. It's 8:56. We're going to take a news break. We'll be back. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live.
Rick Worthington, 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time 9:07. Paul J. and Chris need to tell you about something coming up. 670 KBOI wants you to enjoy some of the best food in Boise, and we want to buy it for you. Go to 670KBOI.com right now to enter our Capital Sellers Contest for your chance at a $50 gift card.
You will absolutely love Capital Sellers. It's a great fantastic place for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And if you have a breakfast business meeting coming up, it's perfect for those.
Got a terrific meeting room. We'll draw a winner every Friday for the $50 gift card at Capital Sellers. So enter early and enter often. There's no limit. You can enter 700,000 times a day if you want to.
Or more.
Yeah. Stop by Capital Sellers, sample the food for yourself. Enter the contest right now at KBOI.com. So that's pretty good. All right, we're talking about Mateen, the shooter, and the fact that everywhere they saw him now, and I take this with like a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Everywhere they saw him now, he was casing the joint. Gunman Omar Mateen visited Disney Springs and the Pulse nightclub at the beginning of June, according to a law enforcement official with knowledge of the investigation. The visits happened between June 1st and 6th, though the number of visits to each was not specified. The dates coincide with Gay Days 2016 celebrations that were taking place at Disney World and other Orlando locations between May 31st and June 6th. Investigators believe the visits were intended to survey the locations based on information learned in interviews. The visits also came in the same time period when Mateen was purchasing the weapons used in the attack, which he picked up June 9th after a cooling off period. Did you see that reporter from, I think, the Orlando Sentinel, a newspaper, I might not be 100% sure on that, wanted to see how long it would take her to buy an AR-15, even in the wake of all this stuff.
And it took...
Was it 7 minutes?
Yeah, something like
seven
that.
7 minutes.
The waiting,
7 minutes.
The waiting period was apparently...
7 minutes.
While they wrote out the receipt.
Yeah. That's amazing. And they showed a picture of her outside in the parking lot holding a gun, going, now what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Disney security officials have told the FBI they believe an April 26 visit to Walt Disney World by Mateen, the Orlando nightclub, was to conduct reconnaissance. The FBI is investigating that possibly a law enforcement official with knowledge, a law enforcement official with knowledge of the investigation said. Investigators didn't know whether Mateen's wife, who was with him on the Disney World visit, I thought they were separated because he beat her. Knew or suspected about her husband's intent.
That's interesting.
Didn't you hear that?
Yeah.
She's engaged to somebody else.
Was he married twice?
Maybe. Okay. Yeah, because the other one said former wife. Yeah,
right.
That might be it. Cell phone tower data indicated Mateen spent several hours Saturday at Disney Springs, which is a shopping and entertainment complex inside the Walt Disney World Resort.
Now, they used to call that Downtown Disney, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Just recently changed the name of it. April of Boise says, how can there be a gay nightclub? I thought all public and private places were not to separate or segregate. Okay, when they say gay nightclub, it doesn't mean those are the only people that can go in there. It's like if you go to a sports bar, chances are the topic of discussion and stuff going on in there will be all about sports.
Yeah.
If you go to a piano bar, chances are it'll be... all about piano music or whatever. If you go to a gay bar, you can kind of expect what you're going to find when you go inside.
Yeah, exactly.
And it doesn't mean that the average person can't just go in there. But they're telling you it's a gay bar, so be prepared.
Yeah.
Just like they warn you about a sports bar.
Yeah. Chris Gallen, who worked at Pulse as a performer, told Anderson Cooper on CNN. He'd seen Mateen dozens of times at the club. According to his estimate, Mateen visited Pulse twice a month over a period of 3 years. He was very friendly. We said hi. Didn't seem like the kind of guy who just did what he did. It makes no sense. My partner said he was very nice and seemed comfortable. See, you get all these different reports. Other guys say he was angry. Other guys say he was sullen and alone.
Yeah.
This guy says he's nice and comfortable.
It's almost like every person has a different opinion.
Yeah. And a lot of anti-gay remarks. And as you said, a lot of times that's a coping mechanism.
Well, true.
Yeah. The shooter's father, Sadiq Mateen of Port St. Lucie, recalled an incident where his son reacted to a gay couple displaying affection. He said his son had a reaction when he saw two men kissing in public near women and children. The sighting was surprising to his son. The father did not clarify further what kind of reaction his son had.
And again, I've said it, a lot of these different subjects, and that is one of them. If people are railing against it too vehemently, you know, like they're just overdoing it. I mean, you know, you could say, well, I find this distasteful, or I find that, you know, to be a sin or whatever. That's one thing. But to just, you know, to come out and just rail against things, quite often there's a deeper problem there.
Yeah. U.S. Senator Jim Risch of Idaho says the Orlando shooting should lead us to a third way in dealing with such attacks, rather than either the gun restrictions presumptive Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton has been calling for, or a ban on Muslim immigration preferred by presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump. There's a third way, and we'll get to it. It's 9:13. Paul, Jay, and Chris, we are back. KBOY rewards code is FLAG. It's Flag Day today, by the way, June 14th. FLAG. Go to 670KBOY.com, enter the word FLAG, and earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
Dave of Boise says, I think it's crystal clear that gun control is not the answer. With that said, the only other part of the equation is the human factor. We need people control. It needs to be harsh and immediate. Anybody caught supporting terrorist activity of any kind needs to be punished, possibly even put to death in the most extreme cases. If the person is killed by themselves or by the police or just a good Samaritan, then their family should be held responsible for the aftermath. It needs to be made clear to everybody beforehand that there will be consequences for their actions, whether they will live or not. It would also be the responsibility of the bad guy's family to report any signs at all of a terrorist act that may be done by their family member. For example, I think this guy who did the shooting in the gay bar should be punished by kicking every one of his family members out of this country. The family does share in the blame, in my opinion. I know it sounds extreme, but so is shooting over 100 people. That is extreme, but some of the things that you're talking about, I think, would not pass constitutional muster.
Yeah, and if you want to live in a free country,
people
have rights, their rights doesn't matter.
When people, and I'll include Hillary Clinton in this, because she was saying yesterday that if you're even suspected of being a terrorist, or if you're being interviewed by the FBI, that you shouldn't be able to, to have a gun, or I guess to buy a gun. And that's not really constitutional. If you're convicted of a crime, that's one thing. But if you're only being interviewed by someone because you're suspected of something, everyone can be a suspect. I can be a suspect. You can be a suspect.
Yep.
But it doesn't mean that we should go to Guantanamo for a year.
No. All right, talking about Jim Risch's saying there should be a third way to deal with attacks such as the one in Orlando, rather than the gun restrictions that Hillary Clinton would call for, or Muslim immigration, which Republican nominee Donald Trump would call for.
Mm-hmm.
Risch, who is on the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations, told CNN's Wolf Blitzer that we should look in a very granular fashion at how FBI handled the case and other cases where people who went on to commit terrorist acts were investigated but cleared. And this is exactly what you just said.
And Rich had a point. He said, this guy was interviewed a couple of times by the FBI. And as far as they were concerned, he didn't seem like a threat. And part of the reason was he had never actually done anything.
And there was a time period of what? Years, right? Several years.
Well, just a couple, because it was, I think it was 2013 and 14. But I mean, you know, a couple of years. And during that time, he hadn't done anything.
Yeah.
And this, you know, as we said, he didn't seem to tell a lot of people what he was going to do.
Yeah, the shooter Mateen had come up twice in FBI probes over suspected radical sympathies. The investigations fizzled out when agents concluded there was no basis for arrest or future monitoring.
You remember, and a lot of people seem to be advocating this for some reason, but if you remember the early 50s, you remember the McCarthy hearings.
Right.
When Senator McCarthy simply told everyone that he had a list of communists who were working in the American government. And sometimes when he'd say it, he had a list of 30 names, and one time he had a list of 200 names, and other times he had a list of 60 names. And he never really had a list of names. He was just kind of a blowhard. But what he wanted to do was be in control of something, and what he ended up being in control of was a witch hunt. Because anybody who'd ever considered any other kind of government besides just straight democracy was called in on the carpet, told to name names of people who they'd been talking to, and when they wouldn't do it, they were banned from working.
And it was amazing how people went along with it, and then the whole thing just fell apart because there was no basis for it.
And this happens. A guy like McCarthy makes a speech and scares everybody.
Yeah, and it happens. Rich told Blitzer he would oppose banning people on terrorist watch lists from buying guns, which Democrats are calling for, unless there is a process put in place where a person can defend themselves. In other words, if you were on the list and wanted to buy a gun, you would have a chance to say, okay, what have I done? Why can't I have a gun? What laws have I broken, et cetera? Mm-hmm. If they're simply on a list, that will never, as you said, pass constitutional muster. He said taking someone's right to buy a gun away is different than putting them on a no-fly list. And we talked about this off the air yesterday.
Yeah, because if you read the Constitution, it actually does mention arms, but it doesn't mention planes.
Exactly. The right to buy a gun, unlike the ability to board an airplane, is guaranteed, as you said.
Yeah, exactly.
Rich said Mateen seems to have acted out of multiple motives, and as we're finding out, and his actions could have been homophobic, inspired by his sympathies for radical Islamic terrorists, or a symptom of his apparent mental instability. Mateen's ex-wife has said he was unstable and beat and abused her. Others who knew him have also described him as short-tempered with a violent streak. Which one was the one that was the greatest motive? Rich says, I don't think anybody will ever know. He disagreed with Blitzer's contention that there is a disturbing pattern of people being investigated for potential terrorist ties who go on to commit terrorist acts after the cases are closed in America. Rich said you need evidence and an overt action to arrest someone, not just thoughts. Simply thoughts, simply sympathies, as abhorrent as it is with radical Islamic terrorism, is not enough. Judging by replies to Rich's tweet promoting the interview, most of the people watching, at least the ones who were moved to tweet about it, were most interested in his gun control comments, with few supporting his view, most opposing them. Hmm. So I guess there wasn't a third thing there. He just said
there needs to be a third thing.
He didn't
thing.
Have it, though.
There needs to be a third thing, and it's also got to be constitutional.
Yeah. That's the fly in the ointment right here is and it's a good fly. I mean, you can't just
this is America.
Take away rights of people you don't agree with.
We're not supposed to just only use the Constitution when nothing's going wrong.
KBOI News Time 9:27.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
Paul J. and Chris on a Tuesday morning. Rain moving into the Boise area at this point in time. A lot of reaction, of course, on the killings in Orlando, and you have some instant message.
I've got a few things here. Let's see. The disgruntled vet says an Amber Alert. Okay, this is from yesterday about the Amber Alert. How helpful is a 14-day-old Amber Alert?
Yeah, not still very. Not sure. The father of these kids.
Why this took so long?
Is they have to follow procedure, mm-hmm. apparently. And the father of these kids, not a happy man.
Disgruntled vet goes on, I wish I had an answer about this, about the subject we've been talking about. I am not willing to surrender my rights or yours on the off chance the FBI might catch someone. And that's kind of the way I've felt about it. Craig of Boise says, like many, when the conversation turns to punishment for horrific acts, the concept of people's rights is brought up. Yes, we all have rights, but rights have always been connected with a commensurate level of responsibility. People also need to act responsibly with respect to those rights. We need to reestablish that time-honored connection between rights and responsibility. I'm tired of hearing people speak of rights with no mention of responsibility. Good point.
Well, it's a good point, but still,
but
people have rights.
Yeah, people do have rights, and we can't. We can't suspend or take away those rights just because we suspect somebody might be thinking something.
Well, yeah, and then they let him go.
Well, yeah, and they interviewed him, and they said, well, he really hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
Dave of Boise wrote back, he says, I was just trying to come up with a real solution. There could also be rewards to people who turn people in. See, now I'm worried about that, too.
Yeah, that's brown shirtish.
Yeah, the Constitution does not really apply in some of the more modern problems this world has. Well, it does, actually. It's just that the world it says change is needed accordingly. I don't think change necessarily is needed. People do need to heed the laws that we already have and obey them, and with rights, absolutely come responsibility.
Let me ask you a question, and this comes up all the time.
Okay.
They say people like you should be more vigilant, right? And I should be more vigilant, and Todd with 1D should be more vigilant. We should watch out what happens around us, mm-hmm. right? And if you suspect somebody of being a radical,
if you see something, say something.
He still has rights.
Exactly.
So what good does it do you to be vigilant?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a dog chasing its tail.
Tom says, I have not heard anyone talk about the gun the shooter used. We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
It has a serial number. Who was the first to buy the gun, the second, and
so
forth.
He bought it legally.
Until we get to the shooter. Let's see who sold the shooter the gun.
He bought it at a gun store.
Yeah, exactly. If a man was on the FBI watch list and they saw that he was purchasing large amounts of ammo, wouldn't that have set off some alarm?
He wasn't on the watch list.
I heard a general many years ago being interviewed about a gunman that had killed a number of people. He said, if the gunman is willing to give his life, there is not much we can do to stop him. We probably couldn't have stopped him, but with purchases above, we could have been watching him more closely. This is easy to say now and very hard to do before the event. Well, and again,
he bought the gun legally.
And again, based on what you personally, not a terrorist, let's talk about you, assuming you are not a terrorist. If you go to the store and want to buy some items that other people aren't buying, do you need to have the FBI come to your house and check out what you're doing with them? I'm going to go with no.
No. And he wasn't on the list. He was taken off the list twice. He was on it. Taken off twice, bought the gun legally, copious amounts of ammunition legally. When did he buy the gun? 10 days ago? 2 weeks ago? Something like that.
It wasn't long.
Yeah.
And let's see, Bill of Boise says, with the massacre in Orlando, Florida, Islamic terrorists have now killed 91, and again, that's still up for debate, and injured more than 370 on U.S. soil since President Obama took office. Yet Obama still refuses to admit that radical Islam is a threat. Could this explain why his administration keeps missing warning signs that could have prevented those attacks? It didn't take long after the attack at a gay bar in Orlando, which claimed 49 lives and injured at least 53 others, for the public to learn that the terrorist, Omar Mateen, had been on a terrorism watch list and was twice interviewed by the FBI. In fact, FBI Director James Comey said on Monday that there were strong indications of radicalization. In other words, this attack didn't come out of the blue, so why wasn't something done before Sunday? The attack came out of the blue. This individual did not come out of the blue. They had interviewed him. But again, when you haven't done anything.
Hadn't broken any laws.
Yeah, and he hadn't necessarily, and he hadn't made any threats of any kind.
Not directly, no.
Like, you know, writing an email to somebody saying, you know.
He didn't walk up to you and say, I'm going to kill you.
No, that's true.
All right, let's go to the phones here. We got a couple of people who want to chime in.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go to Rich in Boise. Rich, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning.
Well, a couple of things. Yes, everybody was shocked, but I said we're just going to have to get used to it. Well, this isn't the first time it's happened, and we're just a violent, I don't know, we're just a violent country. I mean, how many people do you suppose the FBI has interviewed?
Oh,
you know, they make it sound
thousands
like if he would have been
thousands.
The only person I could see him criticizing the FBI. But, I mean, you know, that's what the FBI should just put out, how many people they've interviewed in the past five, six years.
That's a good point. I mean, we're not talking about a list of half a dozen people.
And we're looking I'm looking at a headline on Fox News right now that says red flags missed during previous FBI investigation of Orlando shooter. I'd like to know what they were.
You know, I'm not going to be that critical of the FBI. I mean, I know they just can't go and throw everybody in jail that somebody says they're doing something. But, you know, I mean, we're just a violent country. Yesterday, some guy called in and he said that we had the least amount of gun deaths of other countries. And he compared us to, like, Rwanda and the Martinis and all these Congo and all these places that are involved in civil wars. We have more gun murders in Mexico and about 50 times what France and England and Norway and everybody has. I mean, that was just kind of I just thought that was comic.
Didn't he use Norway on the list?
Huh?
Didn't he use Norway on the list? Wasn't it on the list?
He gave it a list for mass shootings. They have.
It seems to me he did mention one Scandinavian country, but I don't know which one.
Yeah,
they have had several mass shootings. They're a small country, so technically, I guess they've had more mass shootings, but not gun deaths in total.
Yeah, they had one on the island, whatever it was. Remember?
The guy killed more than 70 people.
Yeah.
I looked that up, and then one of those Scandinavian countries, I mean, did have more mass shootings per capita than us. But as far as gun deaths, I mean, we're not the worst country. I mean, we're worse than all of Europe and Japan, and we're like 10 times worse than almost all industrialized countries. But we're not worse than some of these countries in South America, Uganda, and in Africa that are involved in civil wars. But we are worse than Mexico. That was the curious one that I found.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. If guns were readily available in Russia and China, would mass shootings in those countries go up?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to say. Some of those countries, like, you know, like in Iraq, before we went in there, they were armed to the teeth, and they had fully automatic weapons and stuff. So I don't know if it's the number of guns or not. I don't know if guns, like Canada, people seem to have the right to have guns in Canada to do whatever they want, and they don't do it. I just kind of think we're just, I don't know why we're such a violent society. Maybe because we're involved in wars all the time and stuff. We just seem to be violent. I'm not sure why it is. You know, I don't know. There are some countries that do have guns that aren't violent. I don't know if taking away the guns would stop it. I don't know why
I
we
don't
have
think
this.
It would.
We just have this macho mentality and stuff, and I kind of think that's kind of what to blame about it. I mean, you know, like I said, I think we're just going to have to get used to it because I can't think of anything that I can think of that'll work.
All right. Thanks, Rich, for the call. It's 947.
Bye.
KBOI News Time, 951. Paul, Jay, and Chris, Idaho Talks Live. Terry in CUNA. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Haven't seen you in a long time.
Been a while. We actually were talking about you yesterday.
Really?
Whatever happened to
Well, yeah, you're usually well-heeled, so, you know, we were mentioning that.
Yeah. Well, number one, like you said earlier, Chris, the Constitution does, it's not an antiquated document. It applies to today, and it fits today. Number two, the guy that said, well, Canada allows people to have guns. Ha! No, they really don't. They are extremely strict on what kind of weapons you could have and how many, et cetera, et cetera. But everybody is forgetting, you were talking about, do you report people? Do you remember the stories that came out of the shooting of San Bernardino, the neighbors that said they saw a lot of strange activity going on in the middle of the night, Arab individuals, young men, coming at all hours. You know, they saw some warning flags, and the people themselves that were saying this even admitted, I saw it on the news, they said, well, we didn't want to be profiling, or we didn't want to sound like a tattletale.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, if you suspect there's something going on, chances are very high that there's not. But the police, what the police tell you is call them and let them sort it out.
Exactly. And these people didn't do it because they were afraid they'd be, persecuted in some way, these guys were Arabs and they're just picking on them.
Well, and you know how much fun it is when a neighbor said, you called the police on me?
You called on me? Yeah, there's that bad neighbor.
You did.
Well, of course, the police don't have to tell them who called.
They won't.
They got to do is show up and say, hey, you're buying this. And, back in the 20s and 30s, you could buy a Browning automatic rifle from the local store. You know how bad that weapon it was? I mean, it was a fully automatic or semi-automatic weapon that fired a 308 round. And you could go to the store and buy them. You could buy a Thompson.
Yep.
And, people, now granted, we didn't, it was depression times and people didn't have a lot of money to spend. But the point was that only the bad guys used them in the wrong way. Mostly gangsters, Bonnie and Clyde, Dylan, not Dylan, but what was the guy they shot at the theater?
Dillinger.
Yeah, Dillinger. Al Capone. Sure, there were gangsters that were using them, but the point is that no matter what anybody does as far as, we got to make a stiffer law. Are we going to make a law that says a car can't go over 50 miles an hour because some idiot buys a car and drives it 100 miles an hour down the road and kills somebody? It's called, you can't blame the inanimate object for what people do. That's really the bottom line.
Yeah, that's true. People have to be accountable for their own actions. Thanks, Terry. We are out of time, and for those still on the line, call back and open phones Friday, or we might address this again tomorrow.
Yeah, we may.
And this is a story with big legs.
I've got several instant messages that we didn't have time to get to, but I will keep them, and we might discuss tomorrow what... what comes up in this case between now and then, definitely.
Yeah, we'll keep tabs on it. It's turning into a political football now. Clinton attacking Trump, Trump attacking Clinton, everybody forgetting what happened. 9:55, something to think about with Mike Rogers coming up next, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out on the World Wide Web at boisechurch.org.